Sunny 16 presents.
Sorry, 1 second.
Mom, I'm just recording a podcast.
Sorry.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Grainsplaining. Here today with someone very special who I'm a big fan of, and that is Lozcam. Hello Laura, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, I'm very hot. We're recording this like in the middle of this ridiculous September heat wave.
Yeah.
Which is trying to prepare me for Australia, and at the moment I think I've got no chance surviving out there. So Laura and I met, I think we'd connected like on Instagram a bit before, but Laura came to the first She Hearts Film Walk I did, which was really cool. It's like always one of my favorite photo walks to look back on. And Laura also helped Alex and I with like our first Grainsplaining photos, which we just loved and were obsessed with. Like that was such a fun day. And yeah, we've done a few like photo walks and events together, so yeah, film community friends.
Yeah.
So Laura, what would you say your main thing is, like self-portraiture, portraits in photography?
Yeah, I think it's kind of changed a little bit over time. But it started off, I think the self-portraits were the main thing and they still are, but then as I started to move into like kind of shooting other people, I think just portraiture in general has kind of been my thing.
Yeah.
Obviously when I go on like photo walks and stuff, I kind of dabble in a bit of street photography as well.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say I'm very good at it though.
That self-portraiture has given you such a good foundation to be able to take portraits of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you were with us, you were just sort of great at directing us and that kind of thing. So I'll start with our quick fire questions that we always do. So obviously you're happy to be here, but it is very hot. So where would you rather be right now?
Right now? I wouldn't be too fussed, to be honest, anywhere but here right now. Maybe, I really want to go to Lisbon. I think Lisbon is like so beautiful. I don't know if it'll be any hotter there, but yeah, no. Mm. In terms of architecture and everything, I just think it's so nice. I'd love to go there.
Yeah, it's a lovely city. I think anywhere with a pool, I'd be quite happy. To be in a pool right now,
yeah,
would be lovely.
I feel you.
Your main tip for self-portraits, if someone's like really nervous about it, what would you advise?
I think it would just be don't overthink it. Mm-hmm. Because I think in a general sense as well, when you are having like a photo shoot where you feel like you're thinking about kind of your setup and your lighting and all those different things, you start to think too much into how is it going to look, especially if you're shooting on film, you're thinking about, you know, not wasting your film.
Yeah, but more precious.
When it's your first time, you've got to just kind of let go of that fear a little bit and just basically just do it. If it fails, you just learn from it and then you can improve. If not, then you've picked up something new. And it does get easier over time, because I would say I'm like one of those people who aren't the most like comfortable in front of a camera. Like it took me some time, it took some tries, but yeah, over time it will get better.
I didn't do much self-portraiture, but having watched you do it, and I know a lot of your early stuff was with black and white film, so I guess that would be a tip if you're nervous to start with something that isn't as expensive as like a portrait or something. A bit less precious about.
Yeah, for sure. Black and white film has like definitely been my kind of main thing, especially during lockdown and stuff, whereas like labs are closed and you're kind of stuck with having like very limited resources, because with black and white it's quite easy to develop at home as well.
I guess
just able to do everything at once basically in one place.
Yeah, gives you control over the whole process, which is cool. And then our favourite question that Alex and I always ask is, if you were a man today, what would you do?
What would I do? This is a hard one, I feel like, because I think if I was a man, it would just be, I could just do everything I wanted, but just with less worry about anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, without worrying about people making comments or like, just, yeah. I think I would just walk around more carefree.
Less worries on your back. I think today, we've had this one a few times before, but it is very warm, so I'd just go out topless today. It'd be a great day for it.
Also, yeah, good one, actually, yeah.
Oh, I love that question. It's always interesting to hear people's responses. So Laura, I would say, is like really well known for her self-portraits in the film community. And the favourite one of that I've seen you do is that one with the disco ball. Like, I was just obsessed with that one. That one, yeah, that one's so cool.
It's a fun one to do.
Yeah, definitely check out Laura's feed for that. But recently, like, you graduated quite recently and you've just got into like a full-time job, so I think navigating that with keeping up like your hobbies and interests is always hard, but you're kind of dipping your toe back into things now. So what would be your advice for like coming back to your creativity after a bit of a break from it?
I think it was a hard one because I tried to kind of come out of the break multiple times, I think, but I was like, I was shooting a little bit and then I stopped and I was shooting a little bit. And to be honest, I think sometimes it is just one of those ones where you can't really plan it as much as you think you'd want to. So I think if you're coming out of a break or even just thinking about it, whenever you've basically just got that time to like take some pictures, do some photo shoots, just use that time. And then I think over time, slowly, when you kind of getting back into the swing of things, you naturally find yourself doing it more often.
Yeah, just bit by bit. Yeah. I think our generation is always like quite dramatic about it as well, like posting on stories, I'm going off socials for a month if you need me. Like, the people that need me have my numbers, da da da. But yeah, it doesn't need to be that kind of bigger deal. I think just stepping in and out of it as it like suits you, and just taking that pressure off, like just doing it bit by bit.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's good like to post here and there, you know, hold yourself a little bit accountable. And like, I do that sometimes, where I'm just like, just making this post to hold myself accountable, like, so I can look back at it and be like, have I actually done what I said I was gonna do? I think it does help in that sense.
I think we kind of have two things to deal with, like the first being just your creative practice in general, but then the second being social media. Like, I imagine before that existed, people would just throw themselves back into their work, but now it's like you've got to do that and be present and active and post about it, and know that if you do step back from social media for a while, it will most likely like penalize you for it and not promote your photos and stuff, which it's kind of like a double whammy in ways. Yeah, Instagram, the joys of it. But I mean, we meet friends through there, and it is a great app in other ways. But I think the last year or so, Instagram's felt like particularly tough to get your work out there. Yeah. Well, I saw you've got a website now. Do you use that a lot? Do you find that helpful with like more professional stuff?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's easier to kind of direct people to it, to be like, you know, this is my portfolio and this is my work. I would say that it does add an extra like piece of work that you need to maintain, because I won't lie, I have not updated my portfolio in quite some time. So I actually need to go back and do that. This has been a good reminder, actually. But in terms of like actually kind of showing your work, it does make things easier, because I think, again, with Instagram, you do kind of, even if it's subconsciously, you kind of filter your work a little bit to the audience, and you think about what are people actually going to like, rather than maybe what you want to create particularly. So yeah, having that, just that website where I actually show, you know, my variety and the work I have, does make things a little bit easier for me to direct in terms of where I see my work going.
Yeah, I think it just looks a bit more professional as well, and you can have multiple elements of it rather than trying to make one sort of grid have that aesthetic that you're looking for. Yeah, it's definitely something I'd like to do, but just always put it off. It just seems like a big piece of work.
Yeah, no, it is a little bit. You do have to set some time aside to, like, quite a substantial amount of time aside to actually, get it to look a certain way. Yeah, again, you can kind of like just think of it as it's just a part of like posting on Instagram. Set aside like 20 minutes, start on it a little bit, and then over time you'll get it to look the way you want it to.
Yeah, just an
A lot of
extension of
people.
Instagram. What was I going to ask you about? So I think it was last year, although it feels ages ago, you did a talk at the photography show about self-portraiture. That literally feels like another lifetime.
No, honestly.
But that was so good, and that was, I think, like one of the first sort of things like that you'd done, which is really exciting. Do you want to just kind of run through that little talk you did and a bit about self-portraiture and your work and how you got into it?
I mean, in terms of talking at the photography show, like that was so unexpected. I remember I met up with you at a photo walk like quite a few months before that, and we were talking about it. And then I think you brought up, you were going to be there, and I was actually asked to speak there, but at that point I was still like unsure about whether I was going to do it, because it's like just the thought of like speaking in front of people and stuff, I thought that was like really daunting. But I'm glad I did it though. Like, it was an amazing experience. Like, I got to see you, I got to meet loads of other people. I was quite surprised at like how many people were interested in what I had to say. Like, that was like a pleasant surprise. But I mean, in terms of what I spoke about, it was just kind of my self-portraits and what I kind of see self-portraiture as being, like a just a sense of like expressing yourself, but also just good practice. Because you don't have to think about, asking people to take pictures of them. You don't have to like worry about setting a time like aside with other people. It's just kind of you in your element, you making yourself comfortable. Like, I think it is quite different taking self-portraits, because it's you're there's no eyes on you, and you're kind of just being true to yourself.
Yeah, that the way you described it just almost sounded quite therapeutic and just like taking time for yourself, which I'd never really thought of it in that way. Like it sounds super daunting, but it just sounded so chill, like the way you did it.
Yeah, you it's kind of like you can see it as, I guess, a little bit of like therapy in a way. Like, you're setting that time for yourself, something you like doing, kind of a little bit of self-care in a way as well.
And
And it's
like,
not a case of, sorry, go on.
I was just gonna say, like, a nice sort of confidence builder. I think if you're someone that hates looking at photos of yourself or whatever it is, kind of not forcing yourself, but putting yourself in that uncomfortable position and then taking a photo and actually thinking, oh, I look quite nice in that. I think it's a nice thing to do, almost like a self-affirmation type thing.
And yeah, I always think that like doing things like that, it does kind of then kind of prep you for a little bit more of like people obviously taking picture of you and being in front of the camera. It just adds to that element of being more comfortable. Like, it is kind of you kind of see it as like going in stages. And I think I also touched on just a little bit about kind of some of the techniques that you might need to consider when you're shooting with film specifically, because obviously taking self-portraits on film is like quite difficult. And I remember when I first started, I think the first time I ever took like a self-portrait that wasn't in front of a mirror, practically the whole roll was like out of focus and like not good at all. Yeah, it is kind of like a bit fiddly a little bit, but I think the main things are bought like a self timer or like a shutter cable, and you just make sure you take your time. That's another big thing. You just take your time, use something to kind of reference your focus point.
Yeah, I found that
It helps
interesting how
you.
you did that. you had like a laundry basket or something that was roughly like the height when you were sitting, and you were focusing on that, which was, I was like, that's genius.
Yeah, it's just like using what's around you. And yeah, I think with soft portraits as well, what I like is that you can just keep it simple. Like, you don't have to think about getting like fancy decoration. Like, whenever I do them, I just use what I already have at home.
Yeah, so
it's like a fun thing to do in your pastime, really. I'm due to do another little shoot for myself, actually.
Cool. Yeah, so it's so great that you do them at home, because I think it's almost like the most accessible thing to you yourself, because you're always with yourself and your house. Like, you don't need like a studio or anything over the top. Like, anyone could give it a go.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's your next self-portrait shoot on your mind? Do you have a vision?
I don't have particularly a look in mind just yet. I know the main thing I want to focus on is just a little bit about kind of my transformation in like different ways just within myself. You can also probably see, I don't know, no one else will notice, but I've changed my hair. So
yeah,
I think that's also been a big part of it. So I just want to kind of reflect that a little bit in the next one. I am due to do it very soon. I don't know when. I need to set myself some time to do it. But yeah, I'm excited.
That's really cool. The photos you took at your graduation, did you do those yourself?
Yeah, I did those myself. I shot those on digital though.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll pretend you didn't. But still, I think that process is so cool, especially at something like a graduation where you have like this really cheesy, stereotypical setup that they get these like external photographers to do, and they charge you a ridiculous amount for one photo, and they literally press the button like four times and that's it. But you've documented this like really important moment in your life, but you've had complete ownership of it. I think that's so special.
Yeah, no, when I'd done that, I knew that when I had my graduation, I knew that I'd wanted to take some self-portraits. It almost didn't happen because graduation day is always just so hectic. So like, I remember we were running late and I'd planned to do it beforehand and then we didn't have time. So then we were like rushing to go. We had the ceremony. I did have, you know, the professional pictures out of like tradition, but when I got home, I was like, before I go to bed, I need to make sure these pictures get done. So I made sure to set some time, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah, that's so cool. So you always knew you were going to do that? It was like an idea.
Yeah, I knew I was going to do that. I did want to do it on film initially, but because of the lack of time, it was like, I'm going to have to do it on digital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought that was such a good idea. Like, I did get the graduation photos, but I don't look at them and think, oh, that's nice. I just think, oh, it's so awkward. Because you're with a stranger as well, which I guess is inevitable, but like when you took the photos of Alex and I, like, we knew you and you kind of have like a slightly more personal relationship. And I think photos are always better when you've got that relationship between yourself and the photographer, that like you just feel more relaxed and
yeah,
it's just easier. So yeah, I thought that was so cool. Like, what a good idea. So you obviously done a lot of self-portraiture, and then how do you think that's kind of led you into other work, or like even the shoot you did of Alex and I, how would you say the self-portraiture has helped with that?
I think it's definitely helped with kind of firstly posing, I think, is a big thing when you're taking portraits, because it can be very, very easy to like mess up angles and stuff. I wouldn't say like I'm like very, very good at it, but I think it's definitely helped me. And I think just same thing goes for just like framing and kind of how, because obviously with film you can't see the picture when you're done, just thinking about how the picture's gonna look, because the more you shoot with a certain film stock, you kind of can predict, in most instances I want to say, you can predict kind of what you're gonna get the more practice you have with it. So I think that's just exposed me to kind of knowing, you know, like what settings to use a little bit, and like what film stocks might work for a certain scenario versus others. And yeah, I also think I just wanted to obviously it's kind of fun doing the self-portraits, but I didn't want that just to be my only thing. And I still wanted to learn more things and just do different things. And I think also I wanted to obviously connect with other people in the community as well. And I think a good way of doing that was to like kind of start taking pictures of other people.
Yeah, I could definitely see on the day how you had more confidence in directing us and what angles would be like flattering. And then, as you said, shooting a film a lot, like I know a lot of people kind of advise like that you just shoot one film stock constantly, and then you can almost like see in that film and visualize exactly what it's going to look like. And photography with film is harder in so many ways. So if you've kind of got that thing down and the direction down, it's just kind of, yeah, the main things out of the way, and you can just focus on getting the good shots that you wanted.
Yeah, for sure. Although sometimes even with all of that, like a film stock can like completely surprise you, and you're like left with the most random results, or like some technical issues, you'll get like random light leaks or something.
Yeah, part of the fun of it.
Yeah.
But there was a period of time where you would just seem to be out with models like quite a lot, just doing random shoots that weren't necessarily like paid or for anything. But was that just the kind of plan to build your portfolio and that sort of thing?
It was kind of unexpected, like it just kind of happened. So I think it started off with firstly I saw like this huge growth at some point during that time on my like pages and stuff, so I thought I'd give back a little bit and just have a photo shoot with someone who'd been
You did like a giveaway, didn't you?
Yeah, and that was, I think, still to this day one of my favorite photo shoots. We went to St. Dunstan in the East Garden. It was just like amazing. It was kind of meant to be this fairy tale kind of vibe, which is what the model wanted, and I think it was like executed perfectly based on the mood board we had and stuff. So that's, I think, how it started a little bit. And then everything kind of just fell in place where in terms of test shoots, there are like a lot of models, especially in London, that kind of need to update their portfolios and stuff. So I remember I did get in contact with an agency at that time, and they were just telling me that, you know, if I was doing any test shoots, there would be models that would kind of be up for doing those. And then from there, I kind of started with that, and then just also reaching out to people on Instagram and stuff to be like, would you be interested? And everyone just seemed to be like up for doing something at that time. So
that's so cool.
Yeah,
I think that's so cool how you're just like carving these opportunities out for yourself. I think a lot of people would feel lost where to start with that, but once you've done one thing, the ball just sort of starts rolling and different opportunities happen. And I also think it's quite nice, I've seen between like the relationship between models and photographers, and you're kind of, obviously you want to pay people for their work, but when people are first starting out, it's kind of mutually like beneficial to you both, and that kind of relationship, like I'll take these shots for you, I'll build my portfolio, you can have these shots and build your portfolio at the same time. Like it just works really well.
Yeah, it's great, especially when you kind of meet a team where everyone is just like so focused and so determined to get something done. Like I've honestly met some really amazing people just based on having that similar interest.
Yeah, that's so cool. And then how has that, or those kind of early shoots, helped you get paid campaigns and the things you've done recently?
It's difficult to say, I think, because obviously I like update my portfolio and I post and things like that, and I guess from there, because I'm kind of exposing myself and putting myself out there, it's kind of caught the interest of those people. I think it's difficult to say what exactly it is about my work that's like made them want to reach out to me, because the only thing I've done is just kind of build on my work and then made sure there was a place for them to contact me. I think that's important as well, actually, just making sure you have a good way, line of communication for yourself if you want like brands and things to reach out to you. But also I would say like reaching out to brands yourself as well can can get you opportunities too.
Yeah, you've just sort of put yourself out there, and yeah, you kind of just got to be allowed in this space. I think, especially as female photographers, just carving out that space for you and not expecting these opportunities just to come, you kind of have to fight for them a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
How have you found that experience as a woman in the community? Do you think you feel the disadvantage, or you haven't really felt that?
I think I felt it a little bit when I've tried to kind of put myself out towards the brands, like proposing kind of my work and what I do. Mm. I think when it's been a case of them coming to me, it's a little bit different because they've already seen what I've done and they obviously have an interest in me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's common for most photographers in general, where you kind of have someone reach out to you and try to lowball you, or try and like basically not put any value in your work.
Mm.
I mean, also in terms of kind of not valuing your time, I remember when I tried to kind of reach out to brands during festival season, I did try to like kind of just say, you know what, I'm just going to send out my portfolio and see what happens. And I did get some response, but it was just kind of like a back and forth, and like no real seriousness in it, which was a bit disappointing, but I guess that's just kind of a thing that comes with it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I do hope things kind of get better and improve. I think even from a diversity perspective, in film at least, when I first joined, compared to now, when I see like analog meetups and all these photo walks, like the vision that comes to my head of the film community is no longer just like older white guys. Like, I do think of it as being more diverse, especially in like this younger generation. But then I do think there's still like stereotypes. Like, this guy tweeted me the other day and he meant well, he was being nice. He was like, it's just so fantastic seeing women get into photography. Like, when I was younger, there were no female photographers. And I'm like, that just isn't true. Like, we've always been interested. There was just no space for us. And I just think it's so mad that you think photography has been around for like 100 or something years, and we've only just been like, oh wow, that looks cool.
That's like thing to say, like, he just hasn't even noticed at all.
Yeah, like, it's just crazy. You can get annoyed about it, but, and people on Twitter, they're just constantly telling me to like stop giving these trolls the time of day. He wasn't really a troll, but Alex and I have had like some nasty experiences recently, but I just feel like I don't have the maturity to let some of the things go yet. Even at the photography show, do you remember Intrepid cameras, the large format cameras that were there?
Yeah.
And Naomi, who was working on that store, and like, she works for Intrepid and like knows her stuff, is really talented, and had people coming up to her like, wow, like, these cameras look so heavy for women to use. And
you're joking.
She was like, what? Like,
it's stupid.
It's just crazy that people think they can say those things. But in general, I feel better about things, and I feel like my Instagram feed is more diverse in who I follow, and I don't see the lack of diversity as much. But maybe that's because we've chosen to curate our feed in that way. Like, it's not the case for everybody.
Yeah, that's definitely how I feel. Like, even when I first like made my page and stuff, that was one of the first things I said to myself was, and I want to make sure like I follow, you know, the underrepresented people. Mm. I want, like, what we don't usually see, like, because when you look on your like explore page, you will see like just the white male photographers, like they take up all the space. But if you really wanted to look for, you know, those other groups, you will find them.
Yeah,
but unfortunately it's a case of just like kind of actively looking and actively following those people.
Yeah, even with like, did you see the new Polaroid camera that was launched like yesterday? Well, we won't talk about the price, but and I don't know this for sure, but they obviously had some kind of launch party, and I've seen a few reels go out of people that were selected to test them, which is great. And the two guys I know that have done it, like, are amazing Polaroid photographers. But even then, I don't think I saw any women, like, selected to use that camera. And it's just, it just feels like an afterthought sometimes, like, oh, we've selected these bunch, oh, we should probably get some women photographers in there too. But I just want it to get to a point where we're not chosen for our gender, like, we're chosen for the talent itself.
Exactly. Like, it's just kind of like, you know, we got to make up those numbers because we know people are going to talk about it rather than it being a genuine kind of selection.
Yeah, this is a bit disappointing. I don't think I saw any women testing it out, but maybe there were. And they, yeah, it was a bit like, oh, it's just like sigh, you know.
I know.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, film photography, as you said, like, our community is definitely becoming more diverse in terms of people actually coming out. And, like, even on the photo walks that I've been on, I can see the difference between when I would first go and then, like, the latest one I went to. Like, the difference was crazy.
Yeah, which is really positive. And like, there are still older guys there, but most of them are really nice. And I think the spaces we've created, we wouldn't tolerate someone who was being, like, sexist or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely still work to be done. So, Laura, what's, like, next for you? You said you've got a shoot today. Can you tell us about that?
So I've actually worked with them before. So Very K Magazine. So I've shot 2 covers for them in the past. We've got another shoot for it basically coming up. So I think that's all I should really say for now, but
okay. Yeah,
we've got a shoot today, so that should be fun.
How do you find the atmosphere on, like, professional shoots? Do you feel more pressure? Is it still, like, really chill vibes? Like, can you kind of craft the atmosphere, or is it dictated by the company or whoever you're working for?
Yeah, I think it is. You kind of have to read the vibe of who you're working with to know how to approach the situation. I mean, with these guys, they're, like, so nice, so chill, so it's just, like, a fun time. I've not had an experience where I felt like it's super professional and I can't kind of relax a little bit, because what I do anyway when I have, like, a shoot is, if it is just me and the model, for example, I do try my best to make it as, like, relaxed and comfortable for them as possible. Because that's how I feel like you're going to get the best results. If everyone's a bit tense, it's like, it reflects in the pictures, I think. Mm.
So when you, like, rock up to your shoot with your stuff, like, do you carve out that time before to chat to the models? Like, do you brainstorm with them? Like, how does it work on the day?
Yeah, so for the most part, it will be a case of, like, we get to whatever location we're at. Like, if it's indoors, obviously, just kind of, I always just kind of set some time aside for myself a little bit, you know, as I'm setting up maybe the lighting or the backdrop, I kind of just think about what we discussed in our mood board. If it's, like, outdoors, I might kind of just look around a little bit beforehand. And then I usually start taking pictures, because I take usually a digital camera as well with me, even if it's just film, I shoot on both. And then as I'm kind of taking some kind of rough test shots just to get an idea of what settings I want, that's usually when I'll be talking to the model as well a little bit. And kind of throughout the day of the shoot, we kind of just talk in between, just make sure, like, we kind of set some breaks. I talk to, you know, the director as well a little bit and be like, it's okay, should we change this a little bit? So it's kind of like a conversation as we shoot a little bit, like, kind of just do everything all together. Mm-hmm.
How does it work in terms of the kit you take? Like, is it all your own? Do you use your own cameras and everything?
Yeah, so it's all my own kit. So I'll usually take a digital camera and then a film camera. And then lighting will be wherever we're at. It's usually, like, studio lighting. So
Do you think you'd be at a disadvantage if you didn't have, like, a really good camera? Or do you think they're more interested in your skills, like, personally?
I think It's hard to say because I think your camera does play into it a little bit, if especially if you're shooting for like a magazine where they would need like very high quality photos. But I wouldn't say it's like the be all and end all, especially if, for example, maybe you're shooting just like for someone's portfolio or something.
Yeah.
That's not going to, I don't think that would determine anything that much. But yeah, I think equipment can be looked at as such a like important thing, but sometimes it's really not like
It would be interesting to do like an experiment, like build a portfolio with, you know, like a Holger camera or something really crap and see if anyone was interested in you.
No, that's
you'd hope the work would speak for itself.
Yeah.
But I can imagine there being a level of snobbery about what camera you're using.
Yeah, I mean, there always is, isn't it? Like, whenever you talk about a camera, someone's always got to make a comment about something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Holger Week scene. So I love those, like, crappy cameras. When we did the walk last year, like, we just finished the walk. It had been a great day. Everyone had come with these ridiculous plastic cameras, and then someone turned up at the end with a Leica, and it was like,
oh my gosh,
come on, this didn't get better. Yeah, just, do you have to, like, if you got a Leica and you love it and you use it, fine, but if you're just walking around like flashing the red logo and just have a Leica because it's called Leica, then
yeah, flexing on everyone.
Yeah, I don't really get that. Okay, let me ask you one last thing, Laura, because it's very hot. So say someone's never done self-portraiture before, they've got a film camera and they just want to do something simple at home, like what are the kind of things you'd say they needed or kind of the steps to approaching that?
I think in the most absolute basic shoot and kind of not thinking about if you have to buy any more equipment, I would say in terms of how you're going to position your camera, you would need a stable kind of place to put it. So if you don't have a tripod, maybe having it high up on like a cupboard or something so that it's not going to move. For the actual taking of the picture, I hope that makes sense. I would hope, like a lot of film cameras, I want to say they've got self timers, or you would need some kind of shutter cable, obviously, because you're going to need that time in between to position yourself. And focusing wise, that part will be a little bit more difficult. I would say, like, if it's your very first time, it might be best if you have someone to help you kind of get them to stand or sit wherever you want it to be and just focus them in so that you know it's going to be in focus.
Yeah,
a lot, or as I said, you can use like just a random, like a giant teddy bear or something, and put it in and then focus your picture that way. But I think those would be the main things. And then in terms of like how you would want the pictures to look and like the results that you want, just make the environment comfortable for yourself. I like to play music in the back. That helps me a lot.
Yeah. Do you always do like a mood board before, or would you just go straight into it?
I do sometimes if it's more thought out. For example, the last one I did with the disco ball, I did have a little bit of a mood board of the colors and stuff that I wanted, so I just kind of made sure that I had the vision right. But I mean, if you're just playing around having fun, there's no need for that. Sometimes those get the best results as well.
Yeah, that's so cool. So I hope everyone will give that a go. I think it's a good challenge for yourself if you haven't done it before. I think it would definitely improve your skills as a photographer.
Yeah, I recommend everyone to do it at least once.
So cool. Well, I hope your shoot goes well today.
Thank you
for talking to me, and thank you for the photos you first did for us, because they're some of our favorites and I think they really just set the vibe for the show. So
no worries, I had an amazing time doing those.
Yeah, so fun. Do you want to just shout out like your handles or your website or anything?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram, that's laws.cam, or on TikTok as well, laws.cam.
Laura's got some great TikTok, so check them out.
Thanks.
And I am Emma J. Lloyd _, and you can follow us at Greensplaining and email us at greensplaining@gmail.com. Hope everyone has a lovely day. Hopefully the weather's calmed down by the time this episode comes out. But if not, stay hydrated, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye. You can say bye, Laura.
Oh, bye.
Hey guys, just a note to say, don't forget to get involved in our Women's Day charity print sale. We are hosting a print sale to raise money for women's charities under the hashtag IWD Frame the Grain. You can post your work online with this hashtag and enter it into a print sale. For all the details, head to our Instagram page. Happy Women's Month!